So you work for Crop. Uh-huh. Is there a point where you finally decided, you know what, I need to go into...
All this time, I was counseled by W. McFerrin Stowe, the pastor at St. Luke's in Oklahoma City. He said, now, Wishart, if you want to get a Ph.D. and go on with the philosophy, I can get you a church up there in that area where you want to study. You can live there, and I thought about that, but somehow or another, it didn't quite click with me.
You were really an Okie.
I was an Okie, and I didn't want to go up east. And you know what I did? When I graduated from seminary at Drew Seminary in Madison, New Jersey, they offered me a church up in Vermont.
They had a nice little church for you up in Vermont, and
yeah,
they wanted you to go to Vermont, and you would make them very happy if all you did was occasionally in your sermons mention the blood of the Lamb.
Oh, yeah, the blood of the Lamb. I've been to seminary. I don't know anything about the blood of the Lamb. Well, that shook me up. So
well,
I decided then, well, I'm just not ready for the ministry.
You had been to the seminary, but you didn't incorporate the blood of the Lamb.
No, huh? The seminary didn't go that far. That's why the bishop didn't want to seal Bill Thomas to seminary, because he'd been one of the outstanding practicing attorneys in the United States, because he says, I'm afraid you'll lose your religion. Bishop Angie Smith said that.
And so the crucifixion of Christ was not referred to then in your...
No, resurrection.
Or the resurrection.
Yeah, yeah, the crucifixion was all right, but not the resurrection.
Okay.
Yeah.
Where is the turning point in your life when you say, okay, I give in to the ministry?
John, I want to preface what he might say with the fact that he had trouble with intellectualism. He was intellectually fighting this battle. His intellect was winning, and he had to struggle with that.
Your brain said, I know what I should be doing.
Yeah.
But then was a part of you that didn't want to?
Yeah.
He grew up asleep on the church pews from an infant on. His parents were very, very involved. His father was great in the field of music.
And their names were?
Wishart. I'm a junior.
Wishart and Vienna.
Name same as mine, and Vienna Lemons.
Okay, and they were all in Oklahoma?
Muskogee, at First Methodist Church in Muskogee. I grew up while they were in the choir. He was the singer.
Intellectually, you knew you should become a minister.
Well, I knew there was a God, and I believed in Jesus Christ, but only intellectually. It was not a heartfelt thing at all.
Bring me to the point where you finally put it all together.
I didn't have any sudden night at the altar, if you mean that. No, I was too intellectual. I'm still intellectual. I love to read philosophical things. I'm just not moved too much that way. I'm emotional, but I'm mainly intellectual.
Okay, what happened? You made a decision at some time to go into the ministry.
Yeah.
How did that happen?
Well, I went to seminary, and then I came back to Oklahoma and went back in the radio business.
Why?
Well, I don't know what else to do. I had to make a living some way.
But you had gone through the seminary. Why wouldn't you go on to a church?
Well, I'd have to join the Methodist conference to do that.
And what would be...
He didn't want to be related to people.
I had somebody else tell me where I was going to live and all that type of thing. Yeah. And,
well, why did you go into the seminary when you knew what you would probably be ending up doing?
At the end of 43, I was still in the South Pacific. I didn't leave there until January of 44. I went over before the Pearl Harbor thing.
41.
Yeah, 41. So I was in 4 years and 6 months. During that time, the last year and a half, I spent in the seminary training to be a chaplain.
Okay.
A chaplain.
I see.
And that I was willing to do, but then the atomic bomb came and ruined that for me.
Save the world.
And I just, the next day I went to New York. I had all these points from action on the Frisco. I could get out. All I had to do was go in and tell them that I had all these points, and they let me out. I came back. And I didn't know how I was going to stay in seminary. I still had another semester to go. And I'll be darned, the Presbyterian Church gave me a scholarship for the rest of my seminary work, all expenses paid. Mm. I didn't even know anything about the Presbyterian Church.
You didn't understand where it came from.
No, I never did. I still don't know where that came from.
When the Presbyterian Church offered you a ministry.
Yeah.
They offered you the scholarship.
And back in Oklahoma City, I preached my first sermons in Presbyterian churches. An old boy really liked me, and I preached because I was intellectual enough. They're kind of intellectual, you know.
Then you're also back in radio?
Yeah, I went back into radio.
You might tell him at this point that you had a girlfriend from college who was waiting for you, and for 4.5 years, 5 years, she waited?
Yeah, Lord. What poor girl. I don't know whatever happened to her.
They did that back in the olden days.
See, I disappeared, literally disappeared, because I was shipped to Pearl Harbor, and in just a few days, I was on board ship. Correspondence was out, and I never saw her again.
I thought, though, you married her. You're talking about one girl, and I'm talking about another one.
No, I didn't marry anybody.
Elizabeth?
Oh, yeah, well, yeah, I had a girlfriend in Oklahoma City.
You knew some of this.
Yeah, and we kept in contact with each other. And she died, though, at 36 with a cerebral hemorrhage.
Mm-hmm.
I'd taken my first appointment. I'd really gone into the ministry.
You had gotten
and
sick.
Here's the way the Lord blessed me, by taking my wife. And that gave me a fits. Then I had some real intellectual problems. But you know what? It improved my preaching. It made me realize what people were going through when they lost children or a wife. And that became the big part of my ministry, was doing funerals. Even then, the first thing out of the box, because I'd been right where they are. My poor grandma years ago died over in Pelham, Oklahoma. I traveled from New Mexico to Oklahoma to go to her funeral. And that guy, he read scripture and ritual. And if I had known whose funeral it was, I would have figured I was in the wrong place.
Mm-hmm.
And at that moment, I decided, if I ever preach, it's not going to be like that. I'm not going to do ritual and all that. I'm going to talk about people that are out there in the congregation and what troubles they're going through. That became the whole source of my ministry, was to try and help people through these agonizing experiences
See,
that we have in life.
His conversion experience was prolonged. It didn't happen in an instant.
Right.
It developed.
Because I've been studying philosophy since I was in junior high school.
You were preaching in some of the Presbyterian churches.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And then somewhere along the line here, you get into the ministry full-time with the Methodists.
Then I took an appointment. They appointed me.
The Methodists.
Uh-huh.
Because you continued worshiping at First Methodist with wife and three children.
Yeah. And they appointed me to Hara, Oklahoma. Really, it wasn't a whole lot of change in my mind or my heart, because I had that all along. Even in radio, I had it. I never missed church. I studied. I was curious about where we came from, where we're going, why we're here. How do you fulfill this life? All those questions were very important to me.
Well, I'm quite certain that you also talked to many others. Unknowingly, you had a ministry.
Oh, yeah.
You had been doing it all along.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And now, though, you're then into the ministry of the Methodist Church.
Wisher was 38 years old when he answered the call to the ministry through the Methodist Church. In Oklahoma City, Max Stowe, Bishop Max Stowe, was working with him on a regular basis. He belonged to a group of 200 or 300 young men and women who had come home from the war. He was in his 30s. He participated actively. They even climbed through the window of the church when it was locked so that they could pray.
And Max Stowe let me preach from his pulpit. That's a huge church in that time, 8,000 or 9,000 members.
And this was all growing, and eventually he developed pericarditis.
Oh, yeah.
An inflammation of the sac around
the heart.
And became very, very ill. And Max Stowe worked with him through this period. And Mac finally said, Wishart, you must face reality. Your call is so loud and clear, and you're so pro at ignoring it, at passing on beyond it. You must deal with that now.
Yeah.
And that's when he decided that he ought to consider the ministry seriously. They were very poor. He had three little boys, and it was in the 40s.
Mm-hmm.
You were 38 when you literally signed on to become a minister in the Methodist Church.
I'm glad she's part of my
and
life.
When I did not know him at this time, but I was working with the singles leadership program in Oklahoma City. His name was given to me as one of my speakers, one of my programs. I didn't like the name, so I didn't call him.
She didn't like my name.